enjoyed that time of worship. Isn't it just what a blessing to worship God together? I can't get enough of that. Okay, so tonight I've been a really tough job. Tien's asked me to speak about something specific, which I really enjoy. So praise God. and it's about something that's not always easy for most of us. And to tell you just a little bit of how my life changed in this regard, I just have to cut this quite short. I went to the UK to go. It was after a season of coming face to face with. It was years ago, okay, 2000. Coming face to face for the first time in my life with the fact that God's kingdom and His purpose is way greater than my little plan. If you missed last week's sermon, please listen to it. It's crucial also for this year. But so I just for the first time realized, wow, God's purpose and His plan is way greater than stuff that I've been planning. And I started praying those risky prayers, those dangerous ones. Yeah, God takes us seriously. I prayed stuff like, God, I want to be in Your will no matter what. I'll go to the ends of the earth. I'll go wherever You send me, and I'll do whatever You want me to do. And just then my life just fell apart. And everything I put my trust in, everything I was relying on just kind of gave way, and I had to really hear from God. It was really amazing. But it was then that God took me seriously on those prayers and started to direct me in the direction I was going to go. And I ended up in the UK paying off some debt that I owed the Air Force, long story. And I was working as a luggage conveyance engineer. You know what that is? it's serious down there. So I was a luggage porter. And we just arrived, and I met a guy. They're also from South Africa, and we decided we're going to go and meet some people. We're going to go to the local church, as you do. There was a social happening, and it was a soki. Okay, it's a South African church. What can you do? You know, London, have a soki. In any case, you know what that is? Sorry, in UK, I have to explain what it is. It's a kind of a dance thing, okay? So we go there. We want to make some friends, meet some people. We just arrived in the city, get there on the Friday night, and there's a small group of people. I'm like, oh, this is doesn't look so good, you know? So we said, so where's the soki? So no, that's on Wednesdays. This is something else. I said, what's this? So they say, this is street evangelism. And we're like, okay. Awkward, you know. How do we get out of this one? But we were just too polite, you know, so we stayed. But guess what? God got hold of my heart that night. You can ask my sister, Ziggy. You know, for the rest of our time in the UK, that's where I was every Friday. And the Lord just really did something precious in my life in terms of His heart for the lost. When we talk about evangelism, I'm going to rush through a few points. I've been enjoying a great book by Bill Hybels called Just Walk Across the Room. I want to really encourage you, if you can have an opportunity, to have a look at that. But I'm going to run through a few basic principles and a few practical things. And I'm really trusting for us to connect with the heart of God around this. Are you with me? Excited? I mean, okay. Let's have a look at this, Luke. Firstly, before we read, in our discipleship process, okay, we are disciples of Christ primarily. That means we want to be like Him. If you are not clear about God's specific purpose for you this year, you can start there while you're sorting out the details to become like Him, to become like Christ. That is our ultimate goal and our ultimate purpose. And part of that journey, you know, if we're really honest with ourselves, we look at the life of Jesus, becoming like Him it's going to have something to do with people. Are you with me? And it's gonna mean getting real with people, engaging people, and not just the people next to you in the pew this afternoon, but those that you've never thought you'd cross paths with. All right? Let's quickly read it. Luke chapter 19, verse 9. Jesus said to him, this is after you've ministered to Zacchaeus. He said, today salvation has come to this house because he also is the son of Abram. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why the Son of Man came. And Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So I don't know if this is bad news for you this evening. It's maybe good news. But becoming like Jesus is going to mean people, getting involved with people, connecting with people, reaching out to people, engaging with people. That's what his life is about. If you look at him, he went into the worst places imaginable. He connected with the outcasts and the worst of the sinners. That was where he operated. That's where his heart is, with people. So maybe that's good news for you tonight. Amen. It's going to involve people. Hallelujah. When we chat about this thing, okay, this feels a bit heavy here now, but we have to ask ourselves one or two questions before we talk about the practicalities, okay? So because why? Why do we do it? Why do we share the love of Jesus? And you need to ask yourself this question. Is the God that you serve, is the God that you know, is he worth knowing? Is the Jesus that you are following, is he worth following? If he is, then it's worth sharing, don't you think? In my case, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Christ. He saved me from the pit. He delivered my life from destruction. I'd probably be dead a few times over. Did some silly things. But I've received grace from him, right? I know that the one I'm following, I want to tell everybody. He's changed my life. He's transformed my life. Amen? That's the starting point. Why do we do it? Because he's worthy. Are you with me? And we ask ourselves another thing. Do we really believe the gospel? Do we really, honestly, genuinely believe that there's only one way to the Father? Or is everybody going to be okay in the end? Are there many roads to Rome? If we genuinely believe there's only one way, that leaves us with a responsibility. Are you with me? And it's not everyone, guys. What a joy, what a privilege to partner with him in continuing his work, to finish his work. And when Jesus ministers to the lady at the well, the Samaritan lady at the well, and he sends away the disciples because he knew they weren't going to get this thing. So he sends them to get some food, and they come back after she's gone, and they come back with food. And Jesus says, I'm not hungry anymore. What? You know, did somebody sneak in my McDonald's? What happened? What happened? But he says, my nourishment, my food is to do the will of my Father and to finish his work. It nourishes him. It builds him up. It strengthens him. And that's the same for us. So if you want to finish the work of Christ, if we look at the life of Christ, it involves a lot of people. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. So we're going to look at a few basics. I'm going to have to move quite quickly. Now, there's a few obstacles, okay? Guys, is it just hot or what's happening? Let me have some water. I was sitting next to Rian there at the back. I think it's the best spot because the wind comes in the door. Just a tip for next week. Okay. Right. So one of the common obstacles we face, and this is cool in church because we, there's lots of guys, right? Lots of people, different roles, different giftings. So the easy thing is to say, no, you know what? It's somebody else's problem. I do the sound. I do it every Sunday. You know what? And we make deals with God. You know, we say, Lord, you know what? I'll come early. I'll sweep the place. I'll do the setup. But just, can you release me from this evangelism thing? You know, I'll go the extra mile. I'll do the band thing, or I'll, you know, hospitality. I don't know what you guys do here, but I'll do all those things. But please, just give me some slack on the evangelism thing. So we try to kind of pass it on. Okay, but obviously not you guys. Okay. I know that's a problem where we come from. Another thing we do is we imagine an ideal scenario. You know, one day I've got a bit of money saved up, or I'm going to, you know, arrange my working week in such a way that I've got a few extra hours, and I've got, you know, a bit of extra buffer in the bank, and then I'm going to be out there, reaching out, doing the thing. Then. Or we think, you know, let me just get through this master's degree. I'm going to just settle, and then I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Or let me just, you know, this is a tough period of my job, so let me just get through this tough season, and then we're going for it. I must just trust God to get a new neighbor, because this one, the new one, if I get a new one, my new boss... If I can just give me a new boss, then I can reach out to him. So we have a way of kind of hoping that it's going to be better one day. I mean, it's going to be more ideal, right? I've got great news, guys. The wait is over. There's no better time than right now. Amen? There's no better time. You're very fortunate this evening, because I've probably made all the mistakes in the book when it comes to evangelism. Okay, so I've got a lot to share. But I have missed some opportunities. And it's tough afterwards when you realize, wow, that was God and I missed it. But I want to say, guys, sometimes those opportunities, the window is small. And we can take the opportunity. So I want to say there's no better time. There will not be an easier time. There will not be a more convenient time. There will not be a better time than right now to reach the people that God has put around you. Amen. So that's exciting news, and you can thank me for that later. Then some of us, actually, this is a terrible disease amongst Christians, is we believe we will be contaminated when we come into contact with non-church people. So we avoid them. I know you guys don't do this, but there's some Christians that literally, you know, isolate themselves completely and, you know, let me try and find a Christian job, a Christian company. If you want to talk about Christian companies, we can talk about that. It's sometimes a bit depressing. But we want to find a Christian company, and we want to find the ideal scenario. Now, I can't send my children to that school because I've heard they use swear words there at that school. And some of us just honestly don't care. We just want to avoid them because it's uncomfortable. Amen. Okay, I know this is not a problem here. I'm just talking about some guys I've come across that have these issues. Okay. All right, let's just look at some basic keys. I'm going to have to rush a bit. I didn't put the timer on. Do you mind if I start it now? I hope you weren't in a hurry. Okay. Luckily, the sun only goes down late. Yeah, it ends. Okay. Just some basic things. I'm just going to run through them. I'm just going to share a little bit around each. They're not rocket science, okay? Firstly, deliberate. Guys, this is amazing. You know, once we've caught this thing, once we realize this is the heart of God for each of us, doesn't matter if you're the most brilliant musician or you're doing all the other jobs in church, good, great news for you. I missed that one scripture. Paul tells Timothy, do the work of the evangelist, right? Do the work of the evangelist, okay? So be deliberate about it. Once I got on a bus from Stellenbosch, where was it from? Cape Town to Joburg. It was about 16 or 18 hours. Lovely stuff before the days of cheap airlines. And I had a bit of a prayer about it, and I decided, you know what? You can't be over-prepared. So I took some, there used to be foundation courses, the Encounter series, right? I took some foundation course material, and I thought, the poor guy is going to sit next to me. You know, 18 hours is a long time. Any case. So by the time we got to Worcester, he was born again. Praise the Lord. Laingsburg, we just prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we had a couple of hours left, so we could cover quite a lot of ground. No, but it doesn't obviously happen like that always. Praise God. That was very cool. We had no water, though. The baptism bit was very tricky. But the thing is, I was deliberate. And guys, I tell you this thing. Every time I've prayed about something like that, every time I've extended my faith, said, Lord, I'm going to go on a journey, or I'm going to go for a run, or I'm going to go for a cycle, I'm trusting you for a God encounter. I'm trusting you today. Doesn't have to be a salvation. Doesn't have to be somebody raised from the dead, okay, every week, maybe every other week. But I want to be available. I mean, I'm available for whatever you want to do, right? That's being deliberate about it and preparing yourself. So in Shofar, we're blessed with lots of courses, okay? So if you want to prepare yourself with this, there's no excuse, okay? And go with missions, go with Rian. That helps, okay? Then, okay, so we plan for it, we position ourselves, we are deliberate about it. If you believe the purpose of God is part it's a key part of your life, shouldn't you plan for it? Shouldn't you budget for it? Shouldn't it be a part of your year plan? Missions, this, budget. This is for free, okay? It's not part of the sermon. Okay, then, secondly, we've got this picture. I had this picture that when I speak to somebody on the train or on the bus, like in India, like one bus stop, it's not very long, got to close the deal. Got to pray the prayer, you know? One time I spoke to a lady at a bus stop in London for 45 seconds. But then it was too quick. Anyway, she was blessed, but we couldn't pray. But I had this pressure on me to close the deal, to pray a prayer of salvation, to you know, even if the person didn't want to. And that's the problem with the captive audience on the airplane. Any case. But it's not like that always. Okay, if you think of the alphabet, or of, say, the atheist being at A and Z being born again, people are at different stages, right? And we never know where we're gonna find them. They might be on the threshold. They might be like that couple of guys that came to us on one mission. We were praying, and I was irritated with them coming to us and bothering us. And then they said, "I said, yeah, what can I do? What's your problem? You know, why are you interrupting us?" I said, "We want to be born again." I was like, "Okay, in that case, we got time for you." So there's somebody that's on the threshold that's looking for opportunity to be born again. And then there's somebody that's like, they have never heard of the name of Jesus. I've had that. I've actually spoken to somebody once that they said, no, actually they've heard the name, but nobody's ever told them about it. Nobody's ever told them about Christ. There was a door-to-door evangelism in Pretoria. Interesting. Amazing privilege to start from the beginning with that person. But in any case, so it's not always. You never know where you're going to find the person, and you never know how far God wants to take it. But just be ready to get wherever they are, to go with where they're at, and to take them a few steps further. Are you with me? Whether if it's a one-off encounter, maybe it'll just be one step. If it's a neighbor or a colleague or somebody that you're walking with, gradual process. Okay, obviously God can do miracles. Obviously, I've seen guys get saved on a train, on a plane, ready, there you go, reap the harvest. But it's not always like that. So let's not have that expectation. Amen. Let's have an expectation to do what God wants to do right there, right then. Amen. And often we get frustrated with this. Okay. And my sister, my favorite younger sister, Ziggy, is a great evangelist. I know you don't know that. But she is very persistent in reaching out to unbelievers. But she seems to be the one with the pickaxe that the Lord sends out to the rocky, hard, rocky soil. Because often she's the person, it seems to me, that is the first one to break up the ground in somebody's heart. And it's hard. And it's discouraging sometimes. One time we were ministering together. That was a good one, Ziggy. Hey, at Kings Cross Station, guy got healed and everything. Hey? Remember, oh, you warmed him up and then we went for it. But often, guys, don't get discouraged when you're dealing with those with the hard ground, when you're dealing with somebody that hasn't heard, when you're the first one that makes the initial encounter. Often I've come and I've spoken to people and I realize, wow, somebody has broken up the ground. Somebody has sown seed here. Holy Spirit has watered here. And this is ready. This guy's ready. It's amazing. It's a great privilege. But it doesn't always happen. Are you with me? Okay, we don't always find people there. Okay. So be ready to just take them a few steps further. Right, then spot the potential of people. My life changed when I started praying and asking God to show me how He sees people. Okay? It not only helps us to connect with the heart of God for the person, but in my case, it humbles me. You know, because we have this way sometimes as Christians. I know you guys don't struggle with this, but some Christians have this thing of, you know, I've arrived, I'm tight with Jesus, and we're close, and you're in trouble. Because you don't know Him, you know, you're going to burn. And we have this kind of condescending way of wanting to bring across our point sometimes. But when I ask God to show me what He sees in somebody, immediately it's easy for me to esteem them higher than myself. Are you with me? Because I say, this is where God is taking them. This is the destiny. Yes, maybe just the Lord just shows me a little glimpse or something, not the whole thing. But that's how it helps me when I engage people to say, okay, Lord, how do you see this person? Where are you taking this person? Especially if it's a relationship, if it's a process that you're walking with a person. Because God sees His destiny in that person. He sees what He's planned for them. When He washed the disciples' feet, Jesus, celebrating where they were going. At that stage, it didn't look so good, right? Running away, scared, but He knew where they were going. Don't take somebody on face value. How many times have I ministered to guys, scary guys, right? Stuff in earrings and noses and everywhere, black clothes, you know what I'm talking about, makeup and often we kind of, okay, let me just not, I'm not going to evangelize that guy, you know, I'm going to, that guy's crying out for attention, eh? Crying out for love. Don't go on the face value, amen? We trust with God to see what He sees. Okay, let's go on. All right, now, one of the things that we see in the life of Jesus is that for us to be able to make a significant impact on somebody's life, we actually have to be with Him. We actually have to put time aside. In the same way that we cannot become like Jesus without spending time with Him. In the same way, if we want to really have an impact on somebody's life, we have to actually make an effort, to spend time with Him deliberately. Go out of my way. Schedule it in. Make a plan. Get there. Go the extra 5 miles. Because I want to be with this person. I want to spend time with them. I want to invest in their life. Amen. Then, guys, I've got great news for you. Over many years, I don't look that old, but I'm a bit older than I look. I've come across like hundreds of different evangelism methods, and I've kind of whittled it down, and I found the best one. Some of you will know the tract era. Remember the tract era? We used to give tracts, okay? Great stuff. We used to do the four spiritual laws. Some of you used surveys. We even in the UK, we did like food outreach. People get free food. How cool is that? Eh? They come and sit and eat, and then you nail them with the gospel. They don't know where it's coming from. Okay, no, I'm just joking. You eat them. This is Abigail. Say hello. She's obviously escaped. So, and then, one of her favorite aunts is available. No, okay. Sorry about that. So, we had all kinds of different methods. Way of the Master. Yeah. Don't write it off. A few people saved. Lots of different methods, though, right, out there over the years. Some focused on business people, some on ladies, some on men. Lots of methods. Now, the only thing I want to say about methods is this thing. It's partnership with the Holy Spirit. You can do all those other methods, put them in your toolbox, have them ready. Maybe one day Holy Spirit will point, you know, press your button, do the Romans road or the John's road or whatever road. But the most important thing, if this is the only thing you take away from this evening, I'm happy, is partnership with Holy Spirit. Learning to hear His voice, learning to obey when He says go. That's the opportunity. This is the guy. That's the heart I've prepared. Walking the road with Holy Spirit, getting to know Him, getting to know His voice, and being ready when He speaks. Guys, that's the only way. Because it's not always going to be the same. I've had this problem years ago that when I encountered somebody in reaching out, in the first, like, 30 seconds, I would put them in a little box in my mind. Okay, I know exactly what I'm going to tell you. I know exactly which method I must follow, which move I'm going to do on you. That's wrong, eh? It's going into presumption. Dishonor God and disrespect the person. But coming to a place where you, in each person, you connect with Holy Spirit and you know, okay, this is today, it's just going to be mowing my neighbor's lawn. Maybe blessing a guy at the office. Whatever, you know, encouraging somebody. It can be something small, but to that place of sensitivity to the voice of Holy Spirit and obedience, I would say, is the most important thing when it comes to engaging with people. Okay, did you write that down? Okay, I'm happy. We can go home now. What's this time? Now? My time's all in my car. Okay, let's go on. I've got a few principles that I got from this book from Bill Hybels. It just kind of summarizes it nicely. So I'm just going to touch on them very briefly. Okay, proximity. How many non-Christians do you know? If you don't know any, make a plan. Okay, you guys are very fortunate. Most of you don't work with Christians. This is tough, guys. I work with Christians the whole time. And they just pray and they're so holy, you know. There's no opportunity to reach out. You guys don't know how fortunate you are. Seriously, nobody else can go into your workplace and preach the gospel there. I can't go in there, maybe on a visit, but you are there. You are God's A game for that place. And He's excited about that. But if you and I don't know, if we're not in proximity to people that don't know Christ, guess what? The chances are getting small, right? In the UK, went to check out an archery club the other day, looking at cycling clubs, you know, wanting to get in there because all the people I know in the church community are born again. Obviously, public transport is a great place. Children. Yes, what a bargain, eh? If you're wondering whether you should have children, don't wonder anymore. Eh? This is your ticket. If you have a baby, people just stop talking to you. Have you noticed that? So no, you haven't noticed. And you, I don't know if it's like that here. People just start talking to you, like random people. How old are you? Cute, you know. How old is he? And everything. He looks like you. He's a bit ugly, whatever. You know, they have comments. In the UK, they say, oh, bless. They say that. I don't really know what they're meaning, but I'm just receiving the blessing. But it's amazing because it's just a common ground, some, you know, for some. If you're parents, we have these moms and parents and toddler groups there. It's very popular there. Yeah, what a great opportunity to already have a place to connect with somebody. Same with a school. Obviously, you know, you guys do the surfing thing or the mountain biking thing or whatever you do. What a great opportunity to engage with someone in a meaningful way. It doesn't have to start with the first day by having them fall and break their leg and being healed on the spot, okay? It can start with just deliberately pursuing a friendship with somebody and praying for them, okay? Right, in style, and by that I mean, you know who Reinhard Bonnke is? Okay, well, I had the great privilege of visiting one of his crusades in Nigeria. And, he's just up on a different level, okay? Have you heard him speak? He speaks loudly, passionately, with a strong German accent. Not badly, though. He speaks, well, you know, very good English. But if I go out and I want to minister to somebody and I start shouting at them with a German accent, it's just not good. It's not going to do the trick. So it doesn't help me try to be like Reinhard Bonnke or try to be like Sias or, you know, Pastor Sias or Pastor Yaku. Or the best plan for you is to just be yourself. That's the best evangelism plan. And to listen to Holy Spirit. God has put a unique set of giftings in you. He's put a unique smile on your face. He's put you in a specific scenario, in a specific workplace, and there, whatever he wants to do through you is going to be the key for that person's life. Don't try all the different, don't try and don't strive, don't force it. Stay with what God has given you. Amen. Be faithful with what's in your hand. And he's going to do the miracle right there. Okay. Practicing commonality. It's very simply looking for that common ground. Like I said, babies is very cool. Yeah, you've got a baby, I've got a baby. You know, even bulls and stormer supporters can talk when there's a baby. It's a miracle, really. It just, you know, opens the ground. But you're basically looking for that point of connection, that point of having something in common, that point of taking the conversation to the next level, or just taking it into a realm where it's actually something meaningful that you're talking about. How often do we chat to somebody next to you on the plane, or you even chat to the guy at school or your colleague, and you talk about the weather or the rugby? Guys, just the next step. To take it towards something meaningful. But you look for that place of common ground. And that's why it's important for us as Christians to have a life, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Have a life, guys. Church is wonderful. But on a Sunday here in the building, church happens all the time, right? But we have to have a life in terms of get a hobby, do something, get exercise, get amongst the people. Okay, do what you love, but take somebody along and take a few guys that don't know Christ as well. Okay, sensitivity. This is something we, as pastors, we practice in the office. You know, we tell ourselves shocking things and we just practice the poker face. You know, I'm just joking. This is not the truth. But when people tell you things about themselves, when you're talking about to your colleague, and after a couple of months, he actually opens up and he shares something, and you are shocked to the core, just don't look shocked, okay? Be sensitive. and you know, I was there, guys. There was a time when I was studying. I thought the most important thing for me is to make sure my roommate stopped smoking and drinking. And I was focusing on that stuff. And I was like, oh, you know, it wasn't that bad. But it's not the smoke and the drink that's going to lead him to hell, right? It's because he doesn't know Christ. So being sensitive, the fact that, yeah, guys, I've got, I don't know, maybe it's bad news. Sinners are sinful. You didn't see that one coming. Yeah. So don't be shocked. Give grace. I don't know about you guys. I've received a lot of grace. I've received like 5 lifetimes worth of grace already. So I can freely give it. Doesn't matter what somebody has gone through. Doesn't matter how shocked I am. I know, Lord, you know what? Your grace is sufficient for me. Surely it's sufficient for him, for this person. We've received grace, guys. We can give it freely. Okay, so be sensitive to that. I don't know, how's time looking? My whole timing is out now here. Yeah. Good. All right. The Bible mentions these three, so I'm just going to quickly look at them, living life in 3D. Okay, so firstly, it says develop friendships by engaging people around you. It's deliberate, guys. You guys look like amazing people. I can just see. I know, you guys don't need any friends. Got enough friends. Blessed. Got your guys that you surf with. Got your guys that you ride with. Don't need friends. Okay, I get that. No problem. But this is not about you. Okay? This is about Christ. It's about the guy that doesn't have friends. The other guy. It's about deliberately pursuing relationship and building friendship with somebody with only one purpose. As to see them change, see their life change, to see them come to Christ, to see them discipled, see the glory of God manifest on their life, right? I met this guy at the mom's group. Don't ask questions. I can sometimes visit the mom's group. And he was there, so, you know, it was a great divine appointment. And you know what? We're not, maybe in another scenario, we'd never be friends. But I'm deliberately pursuing a relationship with him. We don't have a lot in common, but I found out he also cycles. So now we cycle. And he does the park thing, laps, which I'm not a fan of at this stage, but now we do laps. Because I want to spend time with him. Do breakfast here and there, deliberately positioning myself so that I can build friendship with this guy. And I know he's going to get saved. I know he's going to get born again. His family is going to be transformed. He's got a baby, okay? So, common ground. That's why he was at the mom's group, okay? So, deliberately building those friendships, deliberately engaging people. Okay, then discover stories before sharing your own story and God's story of redemption. That means, I know you guys don't have this problem, but we like talking about ourselves, right? If you want to have a conversation with somebody, ask them about themselves. Keep your story for later. You'll have your opportunity. But try and get to the essence of who this person is. Okay. Care about them, who they are, what they're going through. You know what blows people away? If you ask your colleague at work, you know, people ask, how's it going? How's your weekend? Blah, blah, blah. If you take it one step further and you try and just probe a little bit further, maybe you'll get to a point where we'll say, you know what? Got bad news this weekend. My dad's got cancer, and it's tough, and we don't know what to do. It doesn't look good. Then you get to a place where you know what blows them away? When next week you come back and you ask him about it, say, listen, I've been praying for your dad. How's he doing? Blows people away. They don't get that. They don't experience that anymore out there. People don't care. So it's just a small thing like that opens the door. The gospel, as to hear what people are about, open our hearts to see, to experience somebody and to hear where they're coming from, where they're at, before we jump in there. You get that? Okay. Then discerning next steps, following the direction of the Holy Spirit. This is key, guys. It's like that, what's his name? Jean de Villiers, you know? Let's get a Stormers guy, okay? In any case, just for today. So John de Villiers sees the gap. It's only there for like a fraction of a second. He takes it. Otherwise, he can't, you know, can't score. In their conversation, it's the same way. It works the same. It's a bit of a skill that you work out. But if you're sensitive to Holy Spirit, you get to notice that those opportunities in a conversation, in an encounter with somebody, there's a gap there. There's an opportunity to take the conversation towards a place where it's meaningful. We're away from the rugby and the weather, okay? And I want to encourage us, respond to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Take the opportunity. Ask that next question. Take that next step. Takes a bit of boldness. It's like bungee jumping or skydiving. That first bit is the most difficult. Not funny. Okay. So, you know, exiting the airplane, sometimes it gets a bit tricky. It's the most difficult part. Once you're out there, you can't go back, right? You're there now. You have to enjoy it now. And guys, I can tell you how many times I've sat in a situation, my heart's going like this, you know, because I know Holy Spirit is prompting me. And I just go in. And then he does it. Whatever it is, you know, different every time. It's exciting. There's a different level of partnership with Christ when we engage with his heart for the lost. Talking about you can't go back. You know, some of these airplanes we used to jump out of, they have like a wheel. So you get out and you stand on the wheel. Now you're going at 300 kilometers an hour, okay? So you take the wing strut over here, the wing strut, and you grab the wing strut and you stand on the wheel. Okay? With me? Then the idea is that you step off the wheel and you go into the arch position, and then it's easy to just let go. Great. It's a beautiful exit, okay? So what happens sometimes, the guy gets out, standing on the wheel, first guy out, plane is crammed full of skydivers trying to get out, saving petrol, you know. So this guy's on the wheel and he freezes. And he looks at the jump master. He wants to get back in. But there's no space in there to maneuver. So the jump master's got this sign, the signal, that he signals the pilot here behind his back. And the pilot lets the brake go. And he goes, in any case, so yeah, he can't go back. The guy's face before that happens is quite funny. In any case. So the most difficult point, guys, is just to just step out. It's like Peter getting out of the boat. I think that first one must have been the crazy one. I'm getting onto the water now. Whoa. That's the most difficult. But I want to say to you, the amazing time after that is just you see God doing stuff. You see doors opening. Sometimes let's just be honest here, okay? Let's just give you a wrong perception. Sometimes it blows up. Okay, but that's also fine. I've had people spit at me, call me bad things. Won't repeat here. But that's fine. I mean, actually, we must just be real about that because Jesus said it's going to happen. Like my good friend Duval would say, Jesus says, in life, you will receive bad. Okay? So that's scripture according to Duval. But so let's just be honest. It's going to happen. Okay? There's going to be times when people swear at you and don't want to hear. There's going to be times when people are not open. But if it's your neighbor, guys, please hear me out here. If it's your neighbor, just back off a little bit. Focus on something else. Serve him. Continue to pray. Don't think a door is closed, right? Just find another route. If it's a once-off on the bus, okay, maybe not today. What I normally do is I say, listen, I'm going to pray for you, whether you like it or not. So you can tell me, you can give me some requests now, but I will pray for you. Some people get freaked out by that, but that's okay. But that place of partnership with Holy Spirit, the next step, what's Holy Spirit saying? Can I take that conversation to the next level? Can I take that friendship to the next level? One time, Pastor Sias and I were chatting to a guy on campus, very, you know, science-y kind of guy, not keen on to hear what we have to say, very much wanting to prove everything empirically, and didn't want to hear us. And then at the end, CS was doing most of the talking. which is fine. I was praying, and right at the end, I just felt the Lord saying, pray for his mom, she's ill. So as we were going, I said, listen, it sounds a bit weird. Can we pray for your mother? I believe she's not well. Now, obviously, this guy's like, mind is going like this because he's just explained that he doesn't believe stuff that he cannot prove, you know. Now his mind is kind of processing. So he says, okay, no, it's fine. We can pray. My mom's a Christian. She won't mind. But she is ill. And right there, I don't have to preach a sermon at this guy. I don't have to prove anything to him. He knows. He's a God that knows him. He's a God that cares. He's a God that is interested in his situation. One time, I was sitting, getting on a plane to Joburg, and I got to my seat, and there's this guy sitting in my seat. Has it ever happened to you? How do people not look on those things, man? Seriously. But in any case, it wasn't even the next row. It was like somewhere other, I don't know. Anyway, so I said, no problem, I'll sit in your spot. So I'll get his number, and I go sit down. Lady sitting next to me, we get chatting. It turns out she's missed her flight. She was on an earlier flight. She missed that one. She had to get on this one. So I'm like, okay. Yeah. Turns out she's a Christian lady, grown up in a Christian home, on the way to see her parents because she has a Muslim boyfriend, and she's going to become a Muslim. Because she wants to marry him. So I was just like, it's just I'm just astounded by the grace of God. It's putting me there, just giving me grace to minister to her, pray with her, encourage her. You know, really trusting to her to connect with God. We could pray together, we could have a great conversation. I don't know, honestly, I don't know what happened after that, but I know she had an opportunity to change her mind. And God reached out to her in an amazing way. But again, Holy Spirit, I could have just put something in my ears or read a book or gone to sleep. These days it's tough. Sleep is scarce. You should meet my boy. He's beautiful. He actually sleeps quite well. It's the other one, in any case. So, but it's so easy just to get into your magazine or whatever. Guys, you're never going to sit next to that person again. Chances are not good. Anyway, take the opportunity. Okay. I want to just close 2 Timothy. You missed it earlier, so let's read it now. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. Paul encouraging Timothy, saying, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Obviously, this maybe wasn't the thing that came naturally for Timothy. This is not the thing he woke up in the morning saying, yay, evangelism today. But Paul encourages him. He says, do the work of an evangelist. So this evening, I want to do the same. I want to encourage us to get engaged with people because people are in the heart of God. And this evening, I want to challenge you. I want to dare you to pray those dangerous prayers. Say, Lord, I'm available. And if you're very, and don't pray this if you're not serious about it. Ask God for his heart, for the lost. I was in way back in 2000, went to an evangelism course in Austria. And there was this big guy doing the course, crazy Norwegian guy. Huge muscles, long hair, tattoos all over the place. He used to be a serious gangster. Scary guy, seriously. You know, sit on the second row. But he used to run like a huge gangster operation and used to have lots of pimps, lots of prostitutes working for him. He used to be a pimp as well. Incredible to see what God did through his life. So he's now an evangelist, okay? And he did this training, and the one day he took us into the red light district. And now me, you know, sort of farm boy, coming from outside of Pretoria, this was way outside my comfort zone. Okay, I grew up in a very protected environment, so this was, yeah, this was big for me. So I stood to the one side, I remember, and I was just, I couldn't relate. I mean, where do you start to find common ground here? You know, where do you, what do you start talking about? I remember standing there and I prayed this prayer. I said, Lord, show me your love for these people. And I mean, I remember the people themselves, they were in such a state. You know, a lot of them were addicts. A lot of them had serious health issues. It's as if their physical condition was kind of reflecting their spiritual condition as well. And I stood there and I prayed this prayer. And I just started weeping. It took me a few minutes. But I tell you what, I was not the same after that. Because God had just shown me just a little bit of how he feels about the most broken, the lost, the worst of sinners, the people that we never want to get in touch with. But his heart breaks for them. And you know what? I could compose myself and I could chat to them. Wow, and God could touch lives. But my life was never the same. And I want to dare you, if you want to take it seriously, ask God. So, Lord, I want to know your heart. I want to know your heart for my neighbor. But I want to know your heart for the lost. When we connect with the heart of God like that, there's an urgency that comes. He's coming back. Time is short. We don't know how long that window is. Maybe you get a new neighbor tomorrow and then your chance is gone. Maybe you do get a new boss. Ask him. And tonight I want to give you that challenge. If you would stand with me tonight, we're going to pray. Sorry, guys, I've gone a bit late. I'm going to pray. Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. God, we thank you, Lord, that you demonstrated your love for every soul, for the whole of humanity. You demonstrated your love in such a powerful way that you sent your son, your only son, the son that you love, you sent to die on a cross for us. God, if ever we doubt your love for us, when we look at the cross, we are convinced that you love us. Tonight, in the name of Jesus, if you're here while every eye is closed and you know tonight that you don't really have a relationship with God, you're not relating. When I'm talking about talking to him, or when I talk about hearing his voice, or when I talk about having a conversation with God, it's weird. What is he talking about? How does it work? If you're standing here tonight and you know that you desire, you don't have it, but you desire to have a relationship with the Father God, the King of the universe, the one that loves you, the one that has given his son for you, the one that has demonstrated his love for you, the one that has paid the highest price so that he can have a relationship with you. If that's you tonight, you know something is wrong. You're far from God. Maybe you've been in relationship with him. Maybe you've been to church. You've been there. But where you are now, you know you need to fix it. You need to step back. You need to come back. You need to draw near. You need to make right with him. If that's you tonight, I've got great news. God is ready. He's waiting with open arms. As you bring your heart, as you bring your life, come with your mess, come with your challenges. Don't try and fix it before. Come just as you are. Come with a repentant heart, and he's going to receive you in the blood of Jesus. If that's you tonight, and you want to connect with God tonight, you want to reach out, you want to make right with him, you want to lay down your life, and you want to step into relationship with him, you want to exalt him as King and Lord over your life. You want to move out from where the driver's seat is in your life and you want to have him take control. If that's you tonight, I want to pray with you. While every eye is closed, I just want to pray. If you're that person tonight, if you want to raise your hand, I want to just pray with you briefly. every eye is closed. Is there anybody I can pray with? Thank you. If you've raised your hand, you can lower it again. Is there anybody else? Okay. I want us just to all together pray. If we can just bring our hearts before God again, we're going to pray together. We're going to respond to this call. So if you're comfortable to pray with me, I want to lead us in a prayer. Okay. Father God. Okay, let's try that with conviction. Father God, thank you for your love for me. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross for me. I confess that I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. I need you, Lord. I've tried many things. But tonight, I confess I need you, Jesus. I believe in my heart that, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and that you have raised him from the dead, Lord. I confess him to be my Lord. Jesus, you are Lord of my life. Thank you that I can receive your gift of eternal life. Thank you that I can have a relationship with you. Thank you that I can hear your voice. Thank you for abundance of life. Thank you that you wash me clean, white as snow. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And we know, even our eyes still closed, I just want to pray one more thing. If you tonight know you want to be like Jesus and you're not there yet, I'm still far. If you have a desire, if you know something needs to change in your heart around the lost, around people, if you know something needs to change in your schedule, something needs to change in your priority, something needs to change in the way you engage people, tonight, I wanted to, just where you're standing, just to raise your hand, and I want to pray with us, just to bring our hearts before God. Father, thank you, Lord, for every person here, God. I thank you that as we bring our hearts before you, God, we humbly come in the name of Jesus and we confess, Lord, that we sometimes live such selfish lives. And tonight, in the name of Jesus, we humble ourselves and we say, God, change our hearts. Remove a heart of stone, Lord. Remove a heart of hardened heart. Remove a not caring, apathetic heart, Lord, and put in us again a heart of flesh, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, your word says that the love of God has been poured into our hearts by your Holy Spirit, Lord. And tonight we ask you to make that love overflow in the name of Jesus, God. Fill us again with your Spirit, God. Fill us again with love, God. Your love, God. Love of God for the people around us and out there, God. In the name of Jesus, God. We ask, Lord, that you'd open our eyes to see opportunities, God. That you'd open our eyes in spirit, Lord. And Holy Spirit, that we would open our ears to hear your voice, God. In the name of Jesus. To recognize every opportunity, Father. I thank you for a new boldness tonight in the name of Jesus. Right now, I speak boldness in our hearts, God, to take, grab a hold of every opportunity, Lord, to love someone, to serve someone, to respond to your Spirit, God, to walk in partnership with you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Holy Spirit, for a boldness tonight to preach your word, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that we can declare, as Paul does, we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation for whoever believes. Oh God, I thank you tonight for the power unto salvation. Lord, thank you, Lord, for a boldness. Thank you for that we can be unashamed. And I thank you for release here tonight in Jesus' name, Lord, that you take off your fear of man in the name of Jesus. We take authority over fear of man in this place in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that we declare, Lord, we fear only God. We fear you only, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for boldness to love people like you did, Lord Jesus. Thank you that we have freely received your grace, God. And tonight, God, we thank you that we can freely commit to give it at every opportunity, God. We ask now in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray this week, the opportunities, God, to serve people, to love people, to interact, to be available for you, Father, for Holy Spirit, for whatever you would have us do. Thank you, Lord. We ask for this week, these coming weeks, for opportunities, God. And I pray that you'd walk this road with us, God. Thank you that you're faithful to finish this work that you start in us. That we walk in partnership with you, God. Thank you, Lord. We ask, Lord, this in your name. Lord, we ask that your name be glorified as we go, Father. That the glory of the Lord will cover this city as the waters cover the sea, God. The knowledge of your glory, Father, will cover this nation, God. In Jesus' name, Lord, will cover our lives, God. In the name of Jesus. Amen.